Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome back to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. I am Cliff. Hello, Brett. Are you called Brett this week?
No, I'm Mungo Jerry this week.
Okay, well, I know why. So, hello, Mungo.
Hello.
What have you had for dinner?
Well, I haven't had any dinner, actually. I had beef burgers, bird's eye beef burgers.
Oh, really?
Very nice, yeah. Uh-huh. But I haven't had anything. That was earlier today. What about you? What have you scoffed?
Today, I have had some kind of cereal with a little bit of chocolate in. Uh-huh. Why not?
Why not?
What else have I had? Then I went to a thing with work and I got a spread put on. So I had all kinds of stuff there. That was nice.
Ooh,
and,
nice.
Since I've come home, I've had a Kinder Egg. They're uh-huh. different. They're different there now, they're. Aren't they?
I can't remember the last time I bought a Kinder Egg. I like the toy. I used to just buy it for the toy anyway.
Well, you'll be all right for that. But if you like the egg, you'll be very upset because it doesn't come in an egg anymore.
Well, there's no chocolate there.
The packaging is egg-shaped, but when you open it, it's like two halves. One half of the egg houses the toy.
Yeah.
You peel the top off, toy inside, or parts of a toy if it's one of those ones. Other half, you peel it off, and it's like a chocolatey dip.
Well, that's awful. I don't like that idea. That was going to be my question, actually. Can you still choke on the small parts of those toys, do you think?
Of course you can.
Yeah. I think that's why they put them in, isn't it?
I think it's de rigueur.
I think that's true. It's definitely true. But you've moved. What you have done is moved to a new location, haven't you?
I am in a new location. 909. Yeah. it is the one before 507. So I'm in number 506. I've had one hell of a week, man. moving. And I don't know. It's just mad. Like we've got. It's just hard work, and also I employed like a squad of men to do it, and it's still been hard work.
Did you have to talk to them?
Yes, and also like I don't want to, but also there's like a bit of a language barrier, so there's normally a bit lost in translation between them and me and them, and Jane and them, Jane and me and Jane. It's always like. Like it's different, it's stressful, isn't it? So, like, we've been all right, we've kept calm with each other and all of that. Well, I know it can be easy to kind of bicker in these situations, but we've kept calm with each other and pleasant with each other because I mean, if we didn't, if you lose it with each other, then you've lost it, haven't you? Because everything else is so stressful, you can't let it get to that point. So, we did a good job of like trying to keep a cool head amongst it all, but honestly. I mean, you try and plan it all, but there's so much stuff you've got to do. And there's more stuff to do here than there is in England. I've moved like lots of times in England. It's normally a case of just like handing a key back and settling your bill and moving on. But here, there's all kinds of stuff. So it's not all over. It's already like 3 days in the making, this move. So,
well, good luck. I mean, the good thing for me is that, like, behind you, there's a building that looks like Grildor's Cosmic Key off the Masters of the Universe film. So I like looking at that if you move your head. Aye. That's exactly what it looks like.
Where is it?
From where I am, anyway. It doesn't have
the big lights shining up.
Uh-huh. That's what it is.
That's the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. That's the light coming off the top of that, yeah.
All right.
So behind, you can see the building. The lights are coming from behind it. So the light is coming from that building behind there. So I don't live far from there, but like I don't have a view or anything. Actually, I tell a lie. I've just realized that's the wrong direction.
Is it?
That's the light from just a building in the back.
It's the light from Grildor's Cosmic Key.
Yeah, in fact, it probably is more likely to be that.
Yeah, it definitely is. Aye. But that's nice. I like your surroundings. It's good for me. There seems to be somebody in an apartment from my right, your left, just behind you, seems to be having a bit of a rave.
I think they're signalling in some distress.
And you're just ignoring them, are you?
Well, I hadn't noticed it. I'm oblivious to things like this because I don't want to get involved. What it is
it's Morse code, is it?
It's the Indian festival of Diwali, the festival of lights. So, there's lots of Indian people live in this community where I live, so there's lots of lights on. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I'm surprised you can only see one flashing.
I can only see one.
There's loads. Let's see.
That's nice.
There you go. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, it's better.
Oh, how like bonny.
It is.
It's like Blackpool Illuminations.
It is. Did your mom used to say that when you used to keep the lights on?
Of course, yeah.
Everyone's mom.
One light on.
One light.
It's not like there's option for lots of lights, is there?
No.
Every room has one light. It's like Blackpool Illuminations in here. Yeah, one light on.
I like that.
So that's what I've been up to, a move.
Good. Sounds stressful, but you know,
it's stressful, but the new place is very nice. Mm-hmm. We've handed back the keys and stuff for the old place, and hopefully we'll get our deposits and all of that shite back. And I can re-energize the coffers because they are empty right now.
Yeah, which like everybody, I think, man.
Yeah, I know.
While you've been doing that, I've just been listening to Sutherland play on the radio because I refuse to watch them, obviously. We'll not mention the FA Cup result on Saturday, or we might actually later. But the one I want to talk about is Tuesday in the newly named Papa John's Trophy.
Is it some kind of like voodoo trophy?
Yeah, it is. It's like that James Bond film, isn't it? That's what it is. But yeah, we played Fleetwood Town. Obviously got beat. No, that was Saturday. The FA Cup was Mansfield.
Okay,
on Saturday,
so we're out of two.
This
cups
was Tuesday.
In
we'll
the space of 4 days. I thought we went out. We got beat by Fleetwood, didn't we?
Yeah, we got beat. But that wasn't the bad thing. What the bad thing was, every single time Fleetwood scored twice, they played the theme from Captain Pugwash when they scored.
Like they called the fisherman or some shite like that.
There must be or something. True. I don't know what they're called. But I mean,
is Joey ridiculous. Barton still the manager?
Isn't it? He is.
Is he still?
I bet he was doing a little sea shanty stroke.
Yeah, he'd be loving it. He'd be absolutely loving it. He really needs to get over that he used to play for Newcastle. He doesn't like
Sunderland. He really needs to get a life, that man, doesn't he?
What happened when he punched that Barnsley manager? Did he just get a fine or something?
Well, what happened when he put that cigar out on that kid's face?
I think he went to jail for that one.
Did he?
I think so. That one. And so this is funny. So the other day, you know, if you Google like a football team and Google brings you back like a list of their players like on a scroller, so you can have a look of like the faces of the players for that team. I think I googled like Everton 2005 team. Don't ask us why, but I was googling that shit. Maybe not 2005, but whatever. And it came back with like the names of the players: Michael Ball, the player, not the opera,
not the singer.
Leon Osman, he was probably there. whoever. And then it brought back a
Graveson.
Graveson, Lee Carsley. Be honest, I'm saying Everton, but Ousmane Darbo, did he play for Everton as well as Man City? I feel like he did, but maybe he didn't.
He might have done.
Anyway, whichever team it was, it brought back a picture of Ousmane Darbo, but it brought back the picture of his face after I was beaten up by Joey Barton. not his usual, like, not his Panini sticker face, but the one that the police took of him after being battered. That was the picture that Google has as a reference of him. Anyway, I'm sure that's not how he would like
I'll
to
say
be remembered.
Something controversial, but which you might need to cut out, but did Johnny Depp's wife take that on board? Did she copy that?
I think
she might have.
I think Johnny Depp and his wife, I'm not condoning, he obviously been civilly found guilty of being a wife beater. I'm certainly not going to do anything like that. But I think those two are a bad couple.
Yeah, I think they're bad news, aren't they?
They are bad news. Johnny Depp.
Definitely bad news.
I know you like Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp, I think, needs to start acting his age.
Maybe he will. You never know, do you?
He's like wasted all his money, hasn't he? Like on rubbish.
Yeah, he spends it on just anything, doesn't he? And dogs, Yorkshire Terriers.
That are not even allowed in Australia. What kind of Yorkshire Terrier is that?
I know. Why don't they let the Yorkshire Terriers in Australia? I don't get that.
So Sunderland got beat off the Shrimpers. I'm going to say they're called that. I'm not sure. On Tuesday. But the defeat of Mansfield, I mean, you couldn't get more Sunderland than that, could you? Haven't won a game since March. They didn't have a manager. They're bottom of the league below us, yet they managed to beat us 1-0 at home for us to go out of the first round of the FA Cup. I mean, how sad is that? That's
a disgrace. An absolute disgrace.
And then Nigel Clough got the job a day later.
I was sitting in the stands, I think, watching the game, so it was probably Nigel Clough that put the heebie-jeebies on one.
What
or
a nightmare.
It could have been Danny Gray.
We managed to miss despite the ball being more in the goal before he touched it.
It was reminiscent of John Fashanu's miss on European club soccer that we did on it. Did exactly the same thing.
The ball was under the bar. It was like on its way in. He headed it and it managed to like hit the bar and go out. It was ridiculous.
He's deliberately trying to miss, isn't he?
The defender couldn't have done that. It wouldn't have done that. It would have gone in anyway.
It would definitely have.
That's terrible.
That's enough of that nonsense. I know. That's
so
awful.
To brighten our lives up, we decided to watch Whizbit, a 1986 children's TV show by the one, the only magic man, Paul Daniels.
That's the guy. That's the guy. Now, I mean, we all know Paul Daniels, don't we? But you know him a little bit more intimately than the rest of us.
Yes, I shared a tender moment with him.
You did, yes.
I was just to tell a story. As a joke, I was just, have I ever told you about that time with Paul Daniels for like about 10 years? I used to say that every time.
It was one of the first things that you said when I met you.
Yeah, actually. I don't think it's true.
You think you're making it up?
I think I've semi-made it up that I was on stage with him. I'm harking back because I think the punchline was like, I don't know, I was six. What did he do? I don't know, just smash me watch up or something. I always just thought that was funny by it being saying that you would smash a child's watch up.
Smash up your Casio.
What was that one with the two heads? Like the man's head, can you remember? Had fit like the talking about this is I got the wrong word there. I was trying to fix a clock and when we moved, and I was googling how to fix a clock with loose arms, but it's hands, isn't it?
Like loose arms. It's definitely hands. Like
I couldn't remember what it was. Hands. I almost
with loose arms.
Loose arms.
I like fixed it. If you've got the loose arms, Is that what it is?
I fixed it anyway.
So this Paul Daniels story that you've told me and that you've like mentioned any opportunity
is made seen up. I've definitely seen him live a few times. Like, me Nana definitely took us to see him at the Sunderland Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might have seen him at the Newcastle, I don't know where it would have been. I was going to say Odeon, but that's not right. I think I might have seen him in Newcastle as well. Anyway, he definitely read my name out and wished his happy birthday. But I think when I said I got on stage with him after that, I think it was a lie. Yeah. But he definitely said my name. I remember really, really wanting to go on stage, but I don't think it happened. But also when I was a kid, so I'm called Paul and my brother's called Daniel, and Paul Daniels was massive. So I used to always think that was good. I was Paul, he was Daniel.
That was good. What do you think of Paul Daniels? Do you like him now?
He's dead, isn't he? So I'm free to say what I like.
Well, we don't speak ill of the dead, though, do we?
No, I mean, I think he's an evil warlock. But well, I think
he is one of the very few entertainers we can actually talk about. So, I mean, you go.
And he must have been okay, because otherwise it would have come out by now, wouldn't it?
I think Debbie would have.
You think he was one woman man?
Yeah, definitely. Aye. Definitely. I was reading apart on Wikipedia, it says that he bedded over 300 women.
Really? So. He was married to he was married to Debbie Daniels for a long time.
He was. It must have been his youth. He's from Middlesbrough.
He also had more than 300 assistants.
Well, that's it. Exactly. That's all you need, isn't it? Did you quite fancy when you were younger, Debbie McGee?
I mean, I would have. Because I was a young man and she was a woman, so I would have.
Yeah.
But she's not really attractive, is she?
She's very timid, isn't she? Very submissive.
I think towards the end of this first episode of Whisper, I was a little bit uncomfortable with Paul and Debbie's interactions.
Especially as he magicked a carrot that looked rather like a phallus.
While he was waving his finger in her face.
Yeah, you can have that.
I think she was the submissive one of the relationship.
I think she was. He was the boss, wasn't he? He was definitely the boss.
I mean, you've got to be submissive, haven't you? Because you've got to acquiesce to being sawn in half every night.
You've got to be sawn up. So I think I quite fancy Debbie McGee as well. I mean, she was always in skimpy outfits, so... I mean, what are you going to do? Of course you're going to fancy her.
But how old was she then? Like, because I feel like watching it now, she looks quite old, but... not old, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Not the kind of infatuation a 10-year-old boy should have, that's for sure.
No. Yeah, I know. No, I think, you know, that's... I think we talked about that before, where in the past, people of a certain age looked... older than they were.
I think absolutely. There's a great Twitter account called 80s Footballers Aging Badly, which is just, it's just incredible. They were having a World Cup of old looking footballers from the 80s. It's brilliant. How do these guys look so old? I don't understand. It's
I don't
just
know.
Because people, lads, wear moisturizer now. It's not just because
I don't. Hang on. I do not wear moisturizer.
No, but you look ancient.
I'll wear blusher, you know, makeup and
I'm
all that
kind of
stuff.
I'm just wearing a mask of my younger self.
Yeah. I have a tattoo of my younger self tattooed on my face.
Like the opposite of those Phil Collins albums when he brought out the remasters and he put his old face on the cover instead of his young face.
So it always goes back to Phil Collins, are you? Doesn't
always
it?
Always goes back to Phil Collins' face. That's for sure.
It does, yeah. So anyway, Whisbit, what's it about, Cliff?
Before we say that, did you watch it when you were a kid?
Definitely watched it as a kid.
What did you think of it? Or what can you remember thinking of it? And did you like it and all that?
I thought it was absolutely class as a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's always stuck in me memory. I mean, we watched it on YouTube and it was like, it was the BBC sort of children's program kind of hour that was on YouTube. It was absolutely class. Yeah. And we probably watched it at that time. Do you know what I mean?
We would have watched the stuff around it.
Four or five, but I can still remember watching it. And I thought it was amazing as a kid.
Schofield was presenting that children's BBC, wasn't he?
He was, And the other thing that was on at the start, which I think it might have been Jack and Ori, was Rick Mail, and he was reading George's Marvelous Medicine. I completely forgot about that. But I loved that as a kid. That was absolutely amazing.
So I'm not sure about that story. One. I never really liked it, but Rick Mail reading that, like, amazing.
Yeah.
I kept watching that instead of fast-forwarding it. It was great.
I know, he's perfect for that, isn't he?
Yeah,
Rick Mail.
Perfect. Yeah, I know he did more, didn't he? Like, he was a regular on that, I think, like, throughout the years. R.I.P. Rick Mill, great. Brilliant performer.
Class.
So Wizbit comes on, and what I'll say now is I remember loving it. I think everybody who knows what it is will remember the theme tune, because that was like a big part of it. Like we said before, kids' TV theme tunes are good. So it's ha-ha, this away, ha-ha, that away, ha-ha, this away, my, oh my, that. Everybody kind of remembers that, based on a Lead Belly song, apparently. Weird, really weird. I didn't know that, and I would
I've
never
been
guess that.
Unable to find the Lead Belly song that it's based on, so I'm not sure that that's actually
true. Presumably, the actual Lead Belly song is about murdering some done gone bad lady who done him wrong. but quite a stretch to then repurpose that song, whatever it is, for a children's TV show about magic.
Yes. I know.
So I remember it being a magic. I remember it being a Paul Daniels thing. I remember it taking place in like this town. I remember certain elements of it. But what I can't remember is how nightmarishly horrific it is. And I don't think I'll be able to sleep tonight.
It's certainly sinister, isn't it?
Awful.
Anytime a mime pops up, you know you're in trouble.
Well, that's what I remember. As a kid, I remember the mime being on it and hating the mime and hate. That was, he probably appears for about 30 seconds in each episode, but it was enough for me to be thinking, oh, I hate that guy. I hate that one.
Plus, there's some other characters in there. There's a clown who's called The Clown, which is pretty sinister. There's a green grocer with green hair.
Yeah. I
don't trust him. There's another French mime, I think, isn't there? So, and the other thing is that Wizbit himself has a very sarcastic look on his face throughout, doesn't he?
Wizbit is the worst, probably the worst children's TV creation of all time, I think, after watching this. It's disgusting. And it's a dick.
Paul Daniels. It's Paul Daniels' voice just sped up, isn't it?
Well, Paul Daniels could not have more fingers and more pies in this show. He's an eagle. An eagle gone mad.
Yes, I think he's retained the rights, hasn't he? Well, Debbie McGee's probably got them now. But they try to reboot it, I think.
He was going to make a movie of it in 2009. Surprisingly, that didn't get off the ground, because who on earth wants to watch that? It would be terrible.
It would be awful. I mean, it was nightmarish. And that rabbit as well. He was scary.
Yeah, also played by Paul Daniels. So the show is Paul Daniels is the kind of presenter slash narrator. He is playing himself and his usual evil warlock guys, where he does tricks. He also is the proprietor of a playhouse called Paul's Playhouse, which is in Puzzleopolis, is the name of it. Obviously a fictional town, because everyone in it is a fictional character.
Might not be. You never know.
And he narrates it. He tells you like what's going on. He introduces the character of Wizbit. This first episode that we've watched basically sets up the story.
Does it?
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Wizbit is a yellow wizard's hat.
That, yeah. And he just comes out of nowhere and meets the rabbit. Nowhere,
comes out the world of WoW, which apparently stands for World of Wizards. So he comes from the planet World of Wizards. He lands or just appears on whatever outside of Puzzleopolis is, we don't know, but he's outside of the city walls. He meets a rabbit, which is another character fit for nightmares. He's got Paul Daniels' voice, but slowed down. Wisbit, it's got Paul Daniels' voice, but sped up.
Yeah.
Paul Daniels, as well as narrating and introducing the show and being like a constant cutaway back to him while he does a little trick, sings the theme tune to him.
The other thing that I found really weird, before all this kicks off and before all this like starts, there's like this weird animation of like, you know, the start of creation and stuff.
Terrifying. Where, again, you mean the terrifying has, animation?
Yeah, where it has Paul Daniels' voice really low. Sort of slowed down.
Really low and slowed down.
He's talking about primordial soup and things like that. I mean, what the hell?
The story of creation, but based on magic. So it's like half actually the story of creation. And it's got like quite... You know what it reminds us of? It's not exactly the same. But you know on Watership Down, that really scary bit at the beginning where the animation is different, where they...
And then
it turns into the hare who gets hunted by whatever. Reminds us of that in tone, because you've got Paul Daniels going, "Hello, welcome to Paul's Playhouse. I'm going to take you into Puzzleopolis. But first..." Uh-huh. And then there's this really scary, dark introduction with his voice slowed down, but still with his, like, whatever, his Scarborough accent or wherever he's from, or whatever.
But he's from the borough, man.
Oh, Middlesbrough, is he? Okay.
Aye.
Still with his North Yorkshire accent, although it would have been Teesside at the time. Like, telling this story about creation, and it's got a really terrifying, like, baby image in it, then a scary, like, face, as, and then fear creeps in. Like, what the fuck? Like, why is this made it into the beginning of this show?
It's insane, isn't it? I would say
that this 25 minutes of television is one of the most confusing 25 minutes I've ever seen.
It is incredibly confusing. Now, do you blame our friend for that, the magician, or do you blame the creator of the show, who's Mungo Jerry's record producer?
I'll be honest, I don't know how these two are bedfellows.
How did Mungo Jerry's record producer get involved with this guy?
I think he wanted to learn some bad magic. I think that's what happened.
Do you think that's what it is?
Well, surely Paul Daniels must have been on the underground circuit. He would have been hired by like men in high places to come and show them like evil stuff. You know, on what's that sexy Stanley Kubrick film with Tom Cruise? Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut.
I think Paul Daniels performed at parties like this.
Do you?
Yeah. But he performed bad magic.
I mean,
and I think Mungo Jerry's record producer is exactly the type of powerful man that would have been hobnobbing with the likes of your Cyril Smiths, your Savills. And these kinds of
things. That's quite an accusation, isn't it?
Is that man still alive, by the way?
I don't know about that. Got no idea. But you think he's a dark wizard rather than a white wizard?
I think he turns that on if the money's right.
Hang on, because the only magic that he performs in this program is turning cards into other cards. So
no, you're wrong. He makes a candle have a little middle.
Just sum up with a candle.
With the middle bit of a candle disappears for a bit.
Aye. I forgot about that bit. I wonder why I forgot about that bit. It's almost like the son of the woman, isn't it?
He messes it up as well.
He messes it up.
He does. There's a couple of bits when Daniels is doing his lines, he like trips over them. So he's doing that. And he has, if I open this top door, there's a candle. Mm-hmm. If I open the bottom door, there's a candle. And then he goes, I've touched the knob on the back. And then he goes, he basically like reveals the back bit that's not meant to be open, I think. Mm-hmm. your butter fingers.
I know. Oh, the only ones I remember is him just turning various cards into rabbit cards and stuff like that. That's all he did. But the best thing that he did, right? The best thing that he did was his introduction. That was the best.
Yeah.
Did you hear what he said at the start?
You say it, because I did.
you did. At the start, he says, "Hello, my little magic wands. Come amongst me. Come amongst me.
Come amongst me." I think that's one of the greatest opening lines ever. I'm going to say that whenever I go into any meeting from now on.
"Hello, my little magic wands. Come amongst us." Awful, rather sinister, I would say that like, but it gets a little bit mental after that, doesn't it, though? Because our friend Wizbit meets the rabbit, like we've just talked about, but also in this crazy magical town, there's also an evil wizard who lives on what looks like a fist,
doesn't
he? Yeah, it's a fist in the sky, that's what it is, a fist in the sky. And all he wants to do is cause trouble. And what he decides to do is pick on the rabbit, doesn't he? That's what he says he's going to do. "I'm going to pick on the rabbit."
Maybe it's because of the rabbit's sinister voice. He gets really excited when he sees the rabbit.
He does. So he's the bad guy. I think that his main problem is that his cat keeps biting him. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, his cat. I remember being quite scared of the cat as a kid. It's quite an evil-looking cat, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite an evil-looking cat. What's the cat's name? Jinx the cat.
Jinx, yeah.
Jinx the cat, that's what it's called. And there's other characters in there that we've talked about. One by the name of Spoof as well.
I think, is he the one with a really awful voice?
Yeah, maybe. There's
two like kind of bad clowns.
Particularly terrible, isn't he?
He is Spoof. I love the name. But I'm very let down by the character. He's really bad. He makes terrible jokes in a really awful voice.
It's awful that. So what the rabbit and Wizbit have got to do is solve a riddle to get into the place. What's the magic place called again?
I think every episode, I remember Puzzleopolis. I think every episode this happens to happen. Somebody has to get in by answering a riddle. They go to the gate and that lady like comes out and goes, "Answer me this riddle and you will gain entry to Puzzleopolis." I'm pretty sure like the rabbit must go out at the end and come try and get back in again.
Well, I mean, the rabbit's not very good at riddles, so how did he ever get into the place in the first place? Do you know what I mean?
To be honest, he gets very downhearted very quickly, doesn't he?
He does. Did you get the riddle right?
No, I didn't.
I did.
I didn't get it, and I didn't think about it after that.
It was a rubbish riddle anyway. Something about, what does a hungry man... How many ice creams would a hungry man need to eat before he's not hungry anymore?
Before his stomach is no longer empty. That was
same thing.
And the answer is one, because after one, his stomach wouldn't be empty anymore.
Exactly. Yes. So they gain entrance into this magical place, don't they? And the evil... Is it Professor Doom or something like that? I think it's something like that.
Dr. Doom, that's different. Professor Doom.
It's not Dr. Doom. It's Professor Doom, that's what it is. He sends his cat down to sort of cause trouble and annoy the rabbit, doesn't he? And what he does is the cat scares a sponge ball up a ledge. That's what happens for some reason. I've got no idea why that happens, but it does happen. Mm-hmm. And then all the townspeople just try to solve the problem of this ball being stuck on a ledge. I mean, what's all that about?
The baby sponge ball.
Yeah. And Wizbit magically sort of makes a ladder out of paper and solves the problem.
Really. So before we get to this point, when the first gain entry into Puzzleopolis, it's like a lysergic daydream, isn't it? Like everything starts spinning around. It's
awful.
It's a crazy scene.
It's a nightmare. That's what it is. It's a complete nightmare. That's what I found.
So I thought that bit was like I don't know, it all, everybody's like giggling, like ha ha ha, right up to the camera, and it's like,
yeah.
And Paul Daniels is going, and there's a wand, and there's a card, and there's a, yeah. Basically, it, this place consists of everything you would see in a magic trick, but as humans, like humanoid versions of a deck of cards, a magic wand, little balls that you put under cups and move them around. Nobody's gonna, you're not getting that, really, are you? Sponge balls. Like, nobody's getting what they're meant to be. But also then, mime artists, the lady who does the riddles is like a harlequin kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a woman who works in a joke shop or a magic shop.
Yeah, the greengrocer.
The greengrocer.
It really is the stuff of nightmares. I mean, greengrocer's got no relevance. I'm sure my dad would have made us switch this off. Because I'm sure the theme tune, the song would have annoyed the hell out of them.
Yeah, and also 2 minutes of the show. I would be like,
just annoyed
put someone else on. The greengrocer's got no place in this place. Literally everybody else is,
man.
Literally everybody else is magic based.
Well, it must have magic hair because it's green. That's what I think. Maybe he stocks magic apples. That's another thing that he could stock. You never know.
Oh, I mean, more likely magic mushrooms given the behavior.
Of the place. I would imagine so. It is like a bad trip watching this, isn't it? That's exactly what
it's awful.
Like.
I couldn't believe it.
It reminds me of, you know, another thing like these, you know, when you're on holiday sometimes and you put the TV on and you see these awful Spanish sort of children's TV program.
And as we were talking about the Fast Show, exactly what they're like, Greek channel 9 or whatever it was, it's exactly that. Like, it's kind
of, it's like that.
It's really poor quality, like production value wise. It's really, really bad. I know we're talking 1986, so we're not expecting like Avengers or Transformers or something like that in terms of CGI or anything, but. Mm-hmm. I think they were trying to push the boundaries with the show. Like I say, I think Daniel's ego is out of control. And I think he's like demanding, like, you know, you need to push it. Use the latest technology. Yeah. We need to see this. We need split screens. We need to see things swirling around and flying off. And I think he's like pushing for that. But I don't think the technology is like ready for it, for like, or the budget allows it.
Maybe.
So it looks really poor when you watch it now. Wisbit himself is awful. Wisbit and the rabbit are really bad. Really, really bad.
The scary stuff. Like I say, Wisbit looks like a sarcastic twat.
Also, Wisbit, we have to mention it. The theme tune at the beginning says, he's a twinkle in his daddy's eye.
I know, that's weird, man.
And we know whose dad is, don't we?
Yeah, is it Paul Daniels?
Daniels himself, isn't it? Daniels has
birthed this hat.
He sired a massive yellow wizard's hat. Who's birthed it?
Who's the mother?
I don't know, but
you wouldn't know.
It's not Debbie Daniels.
I'll
is
go
it?
For Otherwise, Debbie.
He would say it.
Well,
it's a mystery.
He might not want to say it. I mean, Debbie might be a little bit upset about birthing a hat.
Well, I think she would be after it was born, I'm sure.
Depends which way it came out, I guess. Head first?
Point first.
I mean, let's hope. Debbie would be no use if it came out feet first.
No use. I mean, the term wizard sleep comes into mind.
It certainly does. I think that's where that terminology
This is where
was
the
born.
Term comes from first, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because Debbie Daniels birthed Wisbit. And thus born the
wrong way around.
Thus born, and can I just say at this point,
breach
the awful phrase, the wizard's sleeve. I don't like saying it. I don't like picturing it for sure.
Yeah,
but
it's not.
I think we've been quite coarse with this, but it's what the content demands. So we've had to go there. We are slaves to the content.
I mean, we're only. We say it, don't we? That's the thing. I mean, that's the way that we saw it.
I mean, if Mr. Chips was to reveal this over a series of slowly disappearing squares. See what you see. Is it Debbie Daniels gaining exactly. a wizard sleeve by Berth and Wisbit while Paul Daniels looks on aghast? Yes, it is.
Oh, what a hideous end. What a hideous end of Wisbit that would be, wouldn't it? I mean, back at the beginning.
I thought that would be the beginning of Wisbit.
That's maybe... That's exactly how Paul Daniels wanted the program to start, with the birthing of that hat.
Yeah,
I think that's also, just what he wanted.
Does it look like a wizard's hat? Does he? Because wizard's hats are never yellow.
No, I never knew it was a hat. To be honest, it was. Well,
he doesn't look like one, does he?
But
if you like,
realised he was a hat.
Read about it.
I thought it was a traffic cone. That's what I thought he was.
I thought it was a piece of conical cheese.
I had absolutely no idea because it didn't last for very long, did it? So, and
27 episodes over 2 years. So it's unclear what Wisbit's there for, but he's got a year and a day to do summit in Puzzleopolis.
Yeah,
what is it that he's got to do?
A year and a day. He's just like finding out about the NAS stuff.
Got a year and a day to just hang out the Earth. Puzzleopolis. Yeah. With all the terrible people that live in it,
uh-huh.
while Professor Doom and his cat are trying to...
It's not clear why.
Nothing clear in this. Yeah. Honestly, it's horrendous. I really thought it would be good, but it's awful. The tricks aren't good. The magic that Wisbit himself does is more like origami. It's not magic. Makes a fucking, like a ladder out of paper. That's... And also, it wouldn't support his weight.
I know,
I noticed that
rubbish.
Very, very quickly cut away from the point when he starts climbing up it.
It was a good cut. Also, there's a part in this as well where Professor Doom sort of goes into the town, Puzzleville or whatever it's called. He tries to entice the townspeople, like the Pied Piper and stuff like that, but he's foiled by Wisbit. You know, plays the music backwards or whatever. But when I'm watching it, I'm thinking to myself, what is the eventual plan here? Is he going to just, like, lead them all to their deaths?
Well, it's not
like,
clear,
what was he,
is it?
What was because he trying to do?
He actually, he says he's after the rabbit. And then he gets annoyed with Wisby.
Yeah, he says he's after the rabbit.
But they're the only two people that don't follow him. Wisby, it turns out, he's got cotton wool in his ears. Which, for a start, he wouldn't know it was coming. So that means he's always had cotton wool in his ears, which he hasn't because he's been able to hear people before that. So
might be psychic.
No, he says he's got no. It's just a flaw in the story, and I think Wisbit manages to reverse it before the rabbit gets in because the rabbit's like on his way, I think. But like you say, why is he doing it? He only wants to pick on the rabbit. Why has he got, like, spoofing those guys? Why is he getting those in a different dimension?
What's he messing with? Why doesn't he just leave them alone? That's what I want. Just leave them alone.
I mean, even if he just went for the rabbit, like, I'm not bothered. Like, go for the rabbit. He's meant to be an evil magician to Wisbit's good magician. But I'm not sure who's the winner in any of this. I don't really get it or agree with it or know why anybody's doing anything. There's no reason for anybody to do anything in this program.
That's true.
There's not,
do you think that there's not? It's completely true. Do you think that we'll have the same experience if we watch Grot Bags and Emu? Do you think it would be a similar thing?
No.
I hope not.
I have met those guys.
Oh, shut up, man. No, you haven't.
I have met Grot Bags. I've got met Grot Bags. I didn't
haven't.
I didn't meet
the
man.
You would be terrified of Grot Bags. You would never meet...
You are dead right. I had to get somebody else to go and get the autograph, but I got Grot Bags' his autograph, and I'm pretty sure was there a guy on the Rod Hull thing called Robot Redford? Because I'm pretty sure I got those two autographs, but not Mr. Hull or emu, but I think I got grub bags and robot Redfern's autograph when they did a live show at Bent Park in South Shields. Yeah. And what I remember from the show,
don't believe you.
I don't know if you were there, but Dan Ward was there because I think I was either with him or we would just both know we were there. Grub bags came out and rushed the audience while singing Great Balls of Fire.
Nice. I mean, that's not going to frighten you, is it? Gee, what's terrifying, Grub bags, wasn't she?
I wonder what Grub bags look like off stage.
Yeah, I'm sure she was a very vivacious and pretty woman. That's what I think.
I think you're being very kind there, but okay.
I mean, without the mullein or the wart or whatever, do you know what I mean? I'm sure she was and
presumably not green.
Exactly. Let's hope she's not green. I don't think she would be. I mean, you know, a good scrubbing. Give her a good scrubbing, she'll be fine.
Gangrenous.
I had a very similar experience as a young child in the department store bins in South Shields, where I met Darth Vader.
Yes. Well, also met Darth Vader at Ben's Park.
He is the most evil man in the universe. So.
He really is. But is Dave Prowse, presumably it was Dave Prowse doing that? I don't know.
But
I met him in Ben's Park as well. Ben's Park was a scene of many a celebrity meet for me. I also met the Wombles there. Timmy Mallett was there.
Very close. So I met the Cheeky Girls. And that is the best thing ever. Remember when they tried to chat us up, the Cheeky Girls?
We talked about the Cheeky Girls before. It's bad memories for me because A, there was a stabbing. And I think there was a small segment of that day when I had one testicle hanging out of my jeans.
That's a really not good thing to do. Do you think that's why the Cheeky Girls didn't chat you up and they chatted me up instead? Because of your testicle?
Well, it would be the opposite of anything, wouldn't it?
Do you think? Do you think that would entice them?
I didn't meet the Cheeky Girls, so...
Enough, because it's spurned the advances of Transylvanian pop stars. So,
and instead they went off with that Lib Dem harmonica playing Freak.
Yeah,
a man whose name is just a mixed up Scrabble word. But
it is, yeah. what a guy. At least I think I'm good on him. You know, getting a cheeky girl, a cheeky girl.
He did all right, didn't he?
He did all right for himself, didn't he? Never hear him now.
I would imagine that that was put paid to his political career. That he went he went in the jungle, didn't he, after that?
Aye, that's right. I like him though, but just for the simple fact. Well, just for the simple fact that he bagged that cheeky girl, I think. You know, he deserves a lot of credit. That's what I say. I mean, at what event did he meet that cheeky girl?
I think he was at that gig in Shields.
Probably.
He was the one.
Doing the stabbing.
Please save me. There's a man with testicle on the beach. I don't know what a Transylvanian accent is. Sorry, that's really bad.
The beach.
Oh, very handsome vampires? Swazi man with the dark hair. That was you, by the way. That was Howard Cheeky Girls.
Yeah, that was me.
He's calling you Swazi, which I think is probably
who does not have term. The testicle out of the pants. That is definitely not a vampire, is it? That was awful.
Can we point out?
So, would you recommend? Yeah. Oh, vampires from Transylvania, or every person in Transylvania, apart from the villagers, are vampires. If you live in a castle, right, in Transylvania, you are a vampire
Have you ever thought, for sure?
Children of the night! Yes.
One cheeky girl. Two cheeky girls. One testicle. Anyway.
One failed politician.
the full gamut. If you were about to say, do I recommend watching Wizbit to anyone? No, yeah, I would not revisit it. It's horrible. Uh-huh. It's not enjoyable. It's really bad. But we were talking about this. Also, there's two bits that we haven't mentioned. Both Paul Daniels turn to phrase like, come amongst me, my friend. Yeah. He says at one point that, let me show you a trick that will satisfy you, gratify you. Gratify should not be used in that context.
It should not, especially when it's a carrot that looks like a cock.
A carrot, a children's TV show, and he's produced.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. And what's in here? A piece of money.
A piece of money.
He says a piece of money about five times. And then he says to Debbie Daniels, and what's under here? And she goes, a coin. He says, that's right, another piece of money. Why can't you say the word coin?
I don't know. My favorite bit was where was being led by the Pied Piper, like music, like a zombie, like that. That's what I liked. That was my favorite bit.
I think the bit with the carrot also starts with him proper wagging his finger in Debbie Daniels' face. Like, it's quite aggressive.
You know what it's for, don't you, Debbie?
Don't you? Say yes.
You're going to get the carrot again.
It's like we're making light of serious issues here.
It's a piece of money, no? Right?
Has Debbie McGee Nee Daniels remarried, got into a new relationship? Has she moved on?
I've got no idea, Paul. No idea whatsoever. I hope she's just happy in herself.
Is it Debbie Daniels that's the focus of the classic Mrs. Merton line? It's her, isn't it? What attracted you to the...
That's right, yeah, you're right.
Whatever it is, small, bald, multi-millionaire, old... bald, magician, or whatever.
That's right, yeah.
I think it is her and Paul Daniels on the receiving end of that barb.
Yeah. From the magnificent Carolina Hearn.
Yeah, RIP. Like I say, I've been watching a lot of the Fast Show. She's pretty great in that. She's certainly She's brilliant in the Royal Family.
The Royal Family is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And Craig Cash is superb in it as well. I'm also a big fan of Early Doors. Carolina Hearn, fantastic. Like, just a lot of tragedy. Another tragedy that she died. Like, very sad. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's taking it down a bit. Let's talk about evil wizards' hats. No. There is an evil version of Wizbit in future episodes.
What's that?
There's an evil version of Wizbit in future episodes created by Professor Doom.
Is there?
Called Badbit.
Ooh. Right.
Anyway, don't watch it. It's crap. It looks crap. There's weird behavior going on. The tricks aren't even that good. And other than the song, which you don't need to watch the show to remember. Yeah. Also, it's a made-up, Ostepossaluzalem, or something like that is the magic word.
Magic word. A lot of the magic words were just anagrams of Paul Daniels' names.
Yeah, so there's, again, like I say, a rampant ego out of control. Was Daniels, like, off his face on coke at this point, or what? Because it's not a very, it's not a very coke-y show. It's definitely much more like a mushroom, lysergic kind of show. But Daniel's ego, I'm going to mention him again, is akin to Collins in this period, I would say.
Well, they look very similar, don't they? Both. I mean, they look similar. They might be the same person.
Maybe they are. Yeah. Maybe they're in cahoots.
But I mean, it's not done in the right way when you think back, like, you know, shows like The Magic Roundabout and stuff like that. That was did it properly.
No, then it's like a bad mix of coke and lysergics, isn't it? Like, it's a bit wacky. But it's very ego-driven.
It's sinister.
I feel sorry for Paul Daniels and Debbie Daniels that they both had to live through his cocaine hell years while he made.
Imagine the tricks that he was doing when he was wild on cocaine.
Yeah, like, didn't make any sense.
I want to sew you up again, love. I want to sew you up. No, Paul, no.
Also, there's one character played by his son, Martin Daniels, the Bog Monster.
Oh, is that who that is?
Uh-huh.
I remember the Bob Monster.
Yeah, he has an unlikely New Orleans jazz accent. But it's actually Paul Daniels' son, Martin Daniels.
What's your opinion of magicians in general? Do you like magicians?
I think when I was a kid, it was fantastic. And even when I started watching this show, I've got a big pang of nostalgia and like a bit of a rush about just how exciting I thought like this was. And
magic.
Tricks were. Magic was when I was a kid. As an adult, I think it's just creepy. And
I still like magic, mate. I still like it.
Yeah, but it's not magic, is it?
You like, very rarely...
When you grow up, you realise it's not magic. It's just cleverness.
Well, I mean, you very rarely see something that amazes you anymore. I think Dynamo's amazing. I like watching Dynamo. We watched Dynamo with a kid and stuff, and I like him. He's
what
great.
What about David Blaine?
Well, I've got... I might ask a question about him later on.
Okay.
All right. But no, I don't like David Blaine. What, he's just a fruitney?
Well, why is he different than Dynamo?
Oh, look, I'm in the box. Yeah.
What about Derren Brown? What do you think of him?
I don't watch much of his stuff. I don't watch. I think I've seen...
Very strong against Derren Brown.
I'm more against David Blaine than I am sort of Derren Brown.
Well, why wouldn't you watch Derren Brown?
Does mind tricks on people. I haven't watched a lot of it. So I'll reserve my judgment for Derren Brown.
But you've had like 20 Dynamo. Years to watch him.
But I just haven't found the need to go and watch him.
I'm just surprised that you watch Dynamo but not Derren Brown.
Well, Dynamo's better. That's why.
It's just don't you think with Dynamo's Brown better? And Dynamo.
He does something with the guitar, I think. Oh, no, he guesses he's... Brown's new song, the lyrics to his song that he's wrote.
Well, but there's one with Rio Ferdinand as well, isn't there? He walks through a window, I think.
Does he?
I think so, yeah.
The other good thing is, I don't know if you've seen it, but Reeves and Mortimer when they're doing magic Leeds City Centre.
That's really good.
That is the best thing.
That's really good, yeah.
So,
what about the American magicians we're talking about other than Blaine?
The Copperfields.
Yeah, Copperfields. Yeah, Pens and Tellers.
I used to like Penn and Teller when that was on Channel 4 at like 10 o'clock. I used to watch that. Who were those two blonde fellas with the wolf?
Are they magicians? Or are they two wolf tricks?
I don't know what they do. I think one of them was mauled by the wolf. I think
it's a tiger rather than a wolf. But
is it a tiger, is it? What a trick that is.
Well, they got what they deserved. They got their just desserts.
They did.
Jerry Sadovich? He's got to be the greatest.
I remember bits of him again on the channel, probably on Penn and Teller. He was on, wasn't he?
Honestly, Jerry Sadovich, he's revisiting. He's an absolute genius.
I'd rather watch him than the Mind Man, Mr. Brown.
I'm telling people listening to this podcast, do not watch Wizbit. But what I would say is go and watch Jerry Sadovich. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
And go and watch Dynamo. It's better.
Dynamo. I mean, everybody can watch Dynamo. He's on all the channels all the time. He's a big name. Jerry Sadovich needs a bit more love. Go, watch
okay. It. Well, I'll watch a bit of that then.
What's next then, Brett?
Well, we did talk a little bit about the football on Saturday, which depressed the hell out of us because we were beaten by lowly Mansfield. But the good thing was that we got a nice review on what iTunes, didn't we?
We very much did.
And that kind of cheered me up.
It did. We were both watching a bit crap stuff.
Yeah. And, watching the match.
Yeah.
But if anybody does want to cheer what up, because we live very lonely lives, and put a nice review on iTunes.
Somebody wrote a song about you, didn't they? He was the best, right?
Lots of people wrote songs about me, Cliff.
He lives a lonely life. Leave him an iTunes review.
All that he wants is another beaver. Anyway, thank you to the person that's done this. Little Graph. that's the person that's done it, and they've wrote a very nice thing. So we'll always say that we'll read them out, because if you can, you know, take the time to write something down.
Who is Little Graph? Who is it?
Who knows? Who knows? But I'll read it out now without you interrupting us, I think.
Go.
Is that... I flip and love this podcast, just so easy to listen to, and I love hearing the two guys talking utter nonsense, sometimes about things and people I've never heard of, but that's the beauty of it. I feel like I grew up with them, watched these TV programs with them, and want to watch all future TV programs with them too. Lots of clapping hands at the end. Thank you, Little Graph, whoever you are. We'll love you.
Yep. Love that. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Leave us reviews like that. Brightens up our after. Like, basically, that we have we have lovely lives with our wives and children. We're fulfilled. But a little review like that, that's a lovely bonus onto our already happy lives.
It really is the cherry on the top.
Yeah, it is. And it really who wouldn't want to be the cherry on the top of a dense cake?
Exactly. That is, if that doesn't get people writing nice reviews, I don't know what.
So,
I'll do a quiz.
Do your fucking quiz.
Right, it's a magic quiz. I'm doing it. What is reportedly the most dangerous? Yeah, I'm not going to do magic. I'm going to do magic.
What is this trick?
I could do the elephant.
No, not again.
What is this trick?
I've got two rings, and I'm going to do this with them. What's going to happen? I've got a watch.
What is going to happen?
I put it in a hanky. What's going to happen?
What is going to happen? What's going to happen? If you had doves, what would happen to the doves? You'd turn into Prince. Start singing.
Go on, sorry.
I'll do it.
I'm amusing myself with you trying to do tricks and then me trying to think about what the outcome would be.
Right.
Sorry. Well, sorry, everyone.
What is reportedly the most dangerous magic trick ever performed, Cliff?
I think it is the man in shackles in a tank of water. He needs to get the key out of his mouth and undo the thing and then get out of the tank of water.
It's a good guess, but it's the bullet catch, which has claimed 12 lives reportedly.
I mean, that's not a magic trick, is it? That is a folly.
Well, it's claimed a lie. Tell the 12 people that they've died because of
the
folly.
12 people who've ever tried it, because it's not magic. You're getting fucking shot in the face.
Well, there you go. Which 80s TV puppet sent Paul Daniels to the hospital by throwing a pizza in his eye?
Pizza in his what?
In his eye.
An 80s TV puppet.
Yeah. Went over the 90s as well.
Honestly, what threw us there was a pizza in the 80s.
You can't remember pizzas in the 80s. I remember a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pizza that had chocolate on it.
Yeah, it was chocolate marshmallows. So you could get them in Asda, couldn't you? The turtles were massive, weren't they? You could get an apple. There was an apple one as well.
Aye, disgusting.
Never had them because we didn't do that in our house. No pizzas. The first time I had a pizza, actually, I wanted to mention this. First time I ever had a pizza was at Adam Yates's, Yatesy, mentioned before. It was at his, I think, maybe his 14th birthday, maybe 15th, probably 14th. And we got taken to the Metro Centre to go to Pizza Hut and have a pizza, and then we got picked up again afterwards. It was the first time I'd ever had a pizza, and I genuinely did not know what to do, like what to order. I guess what to order was taken out of my hands because the parents probably ordered it and left. But honestly, I was like, didn't know anything about it. First time I'd ever had it.
Is this because of the Clifford's hatred of the Italians that you didn't have they any pizzas?
I think you'll find it's pronounced eye ties. No, yeah. That's a joke. Any Cliffords that are listening? No. And we just didn't have any of that. So people think I'm like joking when I say like we didn't have pizza, we didn't have pasta, we had Chinese, Indian, whatever, until I was like growing up, really, like a teenager. Some great food, just not that food that we just didn't have. Yeah.
Just more, that wasn't the cuisine that you had. You had traditional English dishes.
Yeah, most of the, it's like mince and dumplings. Mince and dumplings, fry-ups, all of that stuff. All great food, just we didn't have any of that stuff. So it was only when I was like, I started hanging out with people like 80.
Like the turtles.
You know, when I met that little, when I met that rat in the sewer, and he said, come and hang out with these four lads, you'll absolutely love them.
The problem is, though, Cliff, you still don't know what the secret of the ooze is, do you?
I have no idea. I don't think I'll ever find out. But it's like,
I don't think you will.
It's my lifelong mission to find out
what the secret of the ooze is. Oh, anyway, you've skated around this, haven't you? What's the answer?
What was the question?
Pizza and give Paul Daniels, which...
Emu.
Good guess. It was Sooty who did that.
So how did he pick up a pizza? He's fucking tiny.
I don't know. I've got no idea, but he did it.
Here's something. Sooty.
Yeah.
What a cunt.
Well, we might do Sooty at some point.
No, right? I hope not. I won't. Well, I won't do it.
Well, you're just going to just keep quiet all the way through. So next week it's Sooty.
Yeah, I'll be sweep.
Hell, you will. I'll be Sue. She was quite, for a bear, she was quite sexy, that Sue.
Well, of course. Tiny bear. She was, yeah.
It is a bit. I mean, she like fits that, around your 50... hand like a glove. That's the good thing.
50s housewife bear.
Which magician wound up Eamon Holmes on GMTV with an all-seeing eye drawn on his hand?
Shazam.
Shazam.
David Blaine.
It was David Blaine.
Amazing. Yeah. I absolutely love it. I know you don't like him, but I think how good is that, that he just went on and just held his hand up and went, look at the eye.
Yeah. Anybody that winds Eamon Holmes up does go up, you know, in my estimation.
I wonder whether Eamon Holmes, like outside of the TV studio broadcasting, seems like, I think he'd be all right. I just think it's on TV. He comes across as a knob. But I think outside of that, he'd be all right.
Well, I mean, who's ever going to know? No one. Unless, you meet up with him for a nice pizza or whatever like that.
Ruth would know.
Ruth would know, but she's always looked like a bulldog chewing a wasp.
Strange old relationship, those two, isn't it?
Well, there you go. I mean, the less said
seems
about
to be,
the better.
Seems to be from the TV. Strange old
from the outside looking in, yeah.
Into the TV, yeah.
Yeah. Which magician and escape artist died of a ruptured appendix on Halloween in 1926, Mr. Clifford?
Is it your man H. Houdini?
It is indeed, yes. And if anybody's seen Planes, Trains, or Automobiles, they'll know that that's how Houdini died.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Fantastic quote.
And also, if you haven't seen Planes, Trains, Automobiles,
why?
Absolutely watch it, because it's probably one of the top five films ever made. And also, it's about Thanksgiving, even though it feels like it's about Christmas, because when you're English, you don't know what Thanksgiving is as a kid. Uh-huh. And it's almost Thanksgiving, so watch it.
Yeah, because it's great. Absolutely fantastic. Oh, I mean,
incredible. One of the greatest.
Those aren't pillows!
The scene in the car with the devil,
that's brilliant. That's amazing.
I can see you.
Her first baby came out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing. It's so quotable, that film. It's just amazing. I love that film. Last one then, Cliff.
Okay, come on.
What are the three parts of a magic trick according to the film The Prestige? Now, I've given you one.
Oh, man, I just watched this. I watched this exact bit of this film the other day.
Did you?
I can't remember what they said in it.
Well, it's the Pledge, the Turn, and the Prestige.
That's the last bit, isn't it? The
For a bonus point, though, Cliff, can you remember what the magic trick is that they're fighting over? Remember what it's called that they get from Tesla, or one that gets from Tesla?
No, I can't. I know it's something to do with a box, isn't it?
Something to do with a box, that's right. It's the Transported Man. That's what it's called.
Strange old film, isn't it, at the end?
Brilliant film. I love that film. I think it's amazing.
Where does that rank in your Christopher Nolan favourite film?
It's a good question, that. I think my favourite of the Christopher Nolan films is Memento. I think that's the best one.
Okay.
Then The Dark Knight, I think. Okay. Well, maybe third? Maybe third?
Where does the best Christopher Nolan film, Insomnia, rank in your rankings?
That is definitely not the best Christopher Nolan film.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's definitely not the best Christopher Nolan film. It would be last.
It's not the worst, is it? It's not the worst Christopher Nolan film.
It is?
No chance.
Even Following's better than Insomnia.
What about the stupid one with the sun?
Stupid one with a son.
Yeah.
Whose son? He hasn't done a Bible story.
The actual son.
Whose son?
Has he not done a film about the sun where they fly into the sun?
You mean the space one?
They go in the sun.
Don't fly into the sun, man.
I thought they were getting
You can't fly into the sun. You try and fly into the sun, Killian, see where it gets you. No, that's not the Sunshine. That's not him.
What's Interstellar then? What's that one?
Interstellar, that's about time and space.
Am I confusing Sunshine and Interstellar into the one the same film?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sunshine's good anyway. I like Sunshine.
That's Danny Boyle, isn't
I think
it?
That one. Yeah, Danny Boyle.
All right. Yeah. I've merged the two.
You have indeed. But yeah, I like Christopher Nolan anyway. I think he's the best director out there, so, you know.
Well, you know you're wrong, but you're welcome to that opinion.
Thanks very much.
Dunkirk, so, yeah. What do you think about Dunkirk?
Brilliant, absolutely fantastic. I haven't seen the new one yet.
No, don't watch it because it'll be fucking terrible.
It won't be fucking terrible. It'll be absolutely amazing. I'm sure of it.
It'll
be absolutely
fun. Even more confusing than the other one with Leonardo DiCaprio in.
Yeah, but that's good. I love that one as well.
What's that one called?
You're not a fan. Inception.
Well, yeah, I didn't like that one bit.
Well, I did.
That's all right. I think we've established that I don't like the people that make the most successful films.
I don't normally, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't normally, but I do like Christopher Nolan. I must admit, I think he's very much like Hitchcock in the films that he makes and stuff. That's what I think. Obviously, you don't, you know. But what are you going to do? You must like Memento. You'd like
I love Memento. I just think when you talk about Hitchcock, you're talking about an all-time great. And I don't think for me, movies and films are about storytelling. And I think Nolan is more about pushing the boundaries of technology than he is about the story. And I know that's,
really?
I think that's also a big part of what big films are about. But it's just not what interests me with films.
I disagree. I think, you know, his Batman films and stuff like that are very storyline driven. I think that's a massive part of
Batman's a different
thing. We'll
agree
to disagree.
Batman's a text that he's working from. I think it's the other ones that I've got more of a dislike.
But that's still story driven. It's just the twists in them and stuff like that. That's where they're comparison with Hitchcock, I think, comes from.
Well, I'd rather watch 10 Hitchcock films than one Nolan film. But no, we differ. That's all right. We can agree to disagree on that.
Of course you can. Shall we introduce the music?
Yeah. So before we get the music, like I said, you can follow us on Twitter at FCircusPod. You can find us on Facebook. It's the name of the podcast. We're on all of the podcast channels, wherever you find your podcast. But wherever that is, give us a review, a good one, hopefully. Whether that's just ranking us on stars, but leave a message, write something, we'll read it out. We know lots of you like it. We get lots of good feedback. You stick it on there, just means more people get to listen to us. We'll end up like shooting up the rankings, which is great. Do want to say happy birthday to Yeti. That's why one of the reasons I brought him up earlier on.
Oh, happy birthday.
He'll be 40 when we when this comes out on Saturday. And I don't know, Paul Daniels. I think there's a reason I wanted to mention him. Oh, yeah, because I went to see Paul Daniels with my nana and I met Yeti. So his grandma, his nana and mine, and I knew each other. That's how we met each other. The first time we ever met, we went to Seaburn Arcades and we played the Moonwalker Arcade game.
Brilliant.
Probably one of the, if not the greatest arcade game ever, but one of them.
Yeah, one of them. Those were the arcades that just me, mom and dad would sit us down and pretend that you had put money in.
Well, that was... what I liked about that one, I remember that was... can't have been 50 pence a game. Maybe it was 50 pence a game at that point.
It would have been 10 pence.
I remember putting the money in, but I remember still standing and playing with it even after
I died. Even though I'd finished. They were over 40 quickly, those games. But yes, happy birthday, Yeti.
Yeah, if you were shit at it.
I was. I hope your bruised bollocks are better.
There should be by now. That was about 15 years ago. So happy birthday, Yeti. Hope you enjoyed the music. I think you will. I think it's a really good song. In fact, it was one of those, it's a song that kind of felt really nostalgic when I listened to it. It's a new band, but it brought back kind of mid-90s memories. So I'm glad that we found these guys. Brett?
It's really good, this song. I really like it. It comes from a Belfast band this week called The Coronations. Mm-hmm. And it's, like you've mentioned before about a previous song, it's epic, this one. I really, really like it. It's called The Fight, and it's from the new album It's All Kicking Off, which is a great name for an album.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's brilliant. But give it a listen and give the rest of the stuff a listen because it's great.
Yeah, well, here we go with this. It sounds really good. I'm sure you'll agree. We'll put the link to the stuff in the episode description like we do every week. Until next time, see you later. Enjoy the music. Don't watch Wizbit. Bye.
Bye.
Na na na. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.